if you tape yourself having sex and then you see yourself, you're like, I thought I was killing it. And then you're like,
yeah. Well, you know? You really did have to be there.
We have a great guest today.
We sure do.
A guest from Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Very, very funny friend, comedian that he's been on the show Maniac on Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
You play the role of Phil.
Credit after credit after credit. And
been on Ridiculousness. He's been on
but
MTV.
Also, probably what you're most proud of is probably numerous stand-up albums and numerous stand-up.
Like, and tours with Bill Burr as well.
As stand-ups.
Well, we haven't introduced you yet.
Okay. Oh, yeah, let's say it.
Stand by until we introduce you.
Singing.
Welcome, Nate. Nate Craig, everybody. Nate Craig.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's your camera right there.
Thank
that's
you.
Your camera.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, fellas.
Thanks for coming. Well, you were
coming,
saying,
man.
Oh, you, sorry, I cut you off.
Well, just to wrap up a couple of those details, yes, there's not many direct flights to Madison. I have to take two flights. Just
right.
To stay on topic.
So why you stop at Chicago?
Usually Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Oh, MSP.
Transfer in Minneapolis.
It's a tough area. Like even last time I went to Milwaukee, we had to drive, I think, from
Chicago maybe.
Yeah. It's like, wow, it's not easy to get around that little part of America.
Even the biggest cities in Wisconsin are not the biggest markets.
Yeah.
I can get to Milwaukee direct, but usually Madison's a connector. And then a couple albums that I did myself, which you guys have done yourselves, and that's those are my.
And that, but then now you're gonna have one that you're gonna do with somebody else, right?
Yeah. Hopefully this one.
Or it's a special, not an album.
Special. Well, I mean, I always say you got to get to do both.
Yeah, do both.
We were talking about earlier. You got to do both. Like you can release the same special five times.
Yeah.
and so I was getting the hard pitch from somebody who was like, you know, it's like everybody's set up to do specials now, and everybody wants to gobble up the rights to like your album or your special mm-hmm. or whatever. And I was just getting the hard pitch from it, and he was like, "So when are you going to do it?" And I was like, "Well, you know, we're going to tape at the end of the spring, but I'm not sure if I want to release an album in the summer." And he's like, "Yeah, that's not a good idea." And I was like, "But I mean, I could just then in September I could just be like, I just released it today."
Because
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
None of it matters.
Yeah.
It's you're brand new to anybody who hasn't heard of you.
Of course.
Oh,
yeah. That's the thing that's funny because we go like, oh, I have to new material. It's like, if people haven't heard from you, all of it is new material for them. You could be doing the same thing that you did when you were starting or like, for them it's going to be like, oh, that's great.
You're on your own clock. It's always weird when somebody says that, like, oh, I don't know if I can do that bit. I did it on an obscure television show in Sweden or something. Like, dude, you can still do it.
We'll hear it again for the first time.
And now with all the social media, you know, like you got the TikTok and YouTube and everything else, it's like there's so many places that like you can still repeat it, even like, you know, like put like have the same bit in every one of those things, and a lot of different people are gonna watch it, so it's like people are not gonna be like, oh, I saw that, you know.
It is true that we have to retire routines. To retire a routine, you don't want to be telling it like a longer form story or something in front of a crowd, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like that old cliche of like musicians get to do it, they get to do the hits, you know, and people can sing along. But it doesn't work that way for stand-up comedy. We can't do a routine and everybody goes, yeah, and then I shit in the bucket. Woo! Or whatever.
Shit in the bucket.
Hey,
forget about this new thing about you being, you know, about your life and you're getting older and your muscles hurt. Go back to shit in the bucket, man.
Yeah.
You were 20.
Well, yeah, you were funnier then when it was all about shitting in the bucket.
Man, when you did colleges, man. yeah, dude. By the way, thanks for the pointers. I'm Francisco crushes it on TikTok, so I'm always like, hey, do you think this font on captions looks bad? And I'm like, this is the most monotonous bullshit that I'm bothering about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that we,
it's a new thing, man. It's like, it's hard. I mean, it's hard even for, you know, everybody. It's just like, you know, like, it's because now it's what I read. I mean, look at you watching the TikTok guy that he's like, it's all about algorithm. And it's like a slot machine in Vegas. It's kind of like you just got to hope like it just picks it up. And then like,
right.
But it's also like
also a time, right? Is there a time of
day? It's a time. It's like, time, 15 seconds that was go. Like you got to like use the music that is trending, the stuff that is trending. So you got to use all these things. So hopefully it catches like that wave and then it just goes.
Yeah.
You know, because, and it's also like, once you get into like, if the TikTok, like you got like, for me, like one of my things that have got like a lot of views viral in TikTok has been stand up. So whenever I try to do something that's not stand up, they're like, no. You're like, yeah, you do a little sketch? No. So it's kind of like, I feel like they also like,
don't
up.
Give us variety. Is that what you mean? They're like,
stick to your lane, bro.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting because I'm always like, I want to do a little photo at the beach.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that you can, but for me, it's weird because it's like, I mean, you got to keep trying. I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to keep posting stuff and then hopefully one of them picks up.
Yeah, if they tell me no on anything else, I'll just consider that a favor, you know? Like, all right, I'm not trying to do too much on TikTok. I'll just post my stand-up clips then, I guess.
And that's all there is.
That's like, you don't want to do a dance?
No.
You're going to be out there doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I just won't be heartbroken if they don't accept my dances. If my dances don't go viral.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a little traveling show. I mean,
not about dance?
No, we can talk about that. But so we want to start with this question.
Thank you for staying on topic.
Yes. Sorry. So, Joe Rogan and Spotify, what do you think?
Boom!
I'm kidding.
Do you or do you not want to go to Texas?
Talk about algorithms.
Don't
pick that up in a second.
Yeah.
Don't get your medical advice from talk show hosts. I think we're all right. Talk radio.
Yeah.
Talk radio has never cured us of our ailments.
Yeah. I was just mentioning. You have to answer it, actually. You're like,
I think it is.
Thanks, don't make it weird.
I think it is. It is just so funny that you know. That we have so much time. It's so much time to worry about podcasts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a luxury.
It is luxurious.
We've overvalidated what talk radio really is, which is all. Not to demean what a podcast is, but it is. It's talk radio. It's just been relabeled.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I try not to call our show a podcast. I call it a show because
because if you want to worry about what Joe Rogan is or is not he's spending his time on his show for his, you know, large viewership.
Yeah.
If you want to worry about that, I mean, if you want to compare it, it's definitely way better than anything Rush Limbaugh used to talk about. Like, Rush Limbaugh was just racist hate. Every morning for 4 hours and then replay it at night. And by the way, there's still, you know, I don't want to bash Rush Limbaugh.
He
finally got sober. But
but then he passed away?
Yeah, and say what you want about Rush Limbaugh, but lung cancer deserved better. But but they're just playing Rush Limbaugh replays. If you drive, I always tell people,
and
like,
nobody's complaining.
No, nobody's, they don't, it doesn't matter. It's not current events. It's literally play the racist hits. Like it's just racist hits. And I mean, that's when people are like, oh God, you know, people, you know, complain about Fox News or about, it's just like, dude, you want to know you want to hear some shit you don't want to hear? Drive through a mountain state, put on AM radio. you can hear some shit that is not going to, that Joe Rogan's not going to put on his podcast. You know,
I'm going to guess all three of us were through the Howard Stern era as well. We saw the movies. We saw the empowerment of the, what was it they used to say on the Howard Stern, in the biography or whatever they said, half the people tune in to hear what he says next, and half the people tune in to hear what he says next.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, they hate him. Like, who has more? Like, so the viewers, you have more viewers that hate you than like you.
Yeah, so they're just repeating. These people are just repeating the cycle, freaking out by stuff that, you know, the great thing about any kind of these mediums is that you get to curate your own list. So I don't know how you're curating exactly what you don't want to hear.
Yeah. No, well, I was just, I'm glad that we talked. I was just joking about it. But you guys went in.
You did it. You did it. You put your toes in.
There's no joking here, dude. This is a podcast.
Yeah.
This is the marketplace of ideas.
Yeah.
And now, what's that? Oh, we're canceled. Shit. Well, wow. Nate, thanks for coming in.
I didn't even say the N-word yet.
You were waiting for the 20-minute mark, and now. So you were born in Madison, and then when did you first start thinking about doing stand-up or thinking about moving to, or did you start doing it in Madison?
I did start doing it. I grew up there, was in college. Started doing it in college.
Over there?
Wisconsin, yeah.
Oh, you never see Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Which one? There's a lot
Madison,
of campuses.
Madison.
Yeah.
Was it cooking away in your soul already, or was it a dare? Was it some? Was there a stand-up comedy night, and they're like, give it
was
a
it
shot?
Was it because you were listening to Rush Limbaugh, and
no,
you were like, hey.
No dare. You could probably blame somebody for telling me they thought I was funny, but I was just always a fan. I was like, anybody within like three generations, it's Eddie Murphy's fault.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy Delirious.
Entirely.
So,
yeah.
Just like...
My name is Eddie Murphy, Nutty Professor.
Oh, wow.
That
explains a lot. That explains why you keep trying to drift out of your lane on TikTok.
I did too many characters.
That's why you came in here in the fat suit last week. I was wondering why.
But so you started in college.
Started in college and then went to Chicago. I was in Chicago for about 8 years.
So that was your first like move to go to pursue comedy was Chicago.
Yep.
It's like 1 hour. Like, wasn't that...
Yeah, it's close enough. Enough.
No, I'm dying to know though. What was the college like? What was the situation? Was it an open mic-y pub night, or did you have? Because I didn't have stand up comedy at my university.
Yeah,
so I didn't have.
There was a comedy club downtown. It's called the Funny Business, and it was like.
Why do comedy clubs always have like those like weird like names like that are not like that funny? You know what I mean? Like like funny, you know, like
I think they got
chuckles.
It. Yeah,
you know. Well, anyway,
I think the Comedy Store crushed it, didn't they? Comedy Store got in there with the most
I think that's the most like, and then, original, I think.
Yeah.
Comedy Store.
Everybody's, what else we can go with, a shop or a factory?
Sorry, I cut you off. You started at the Funny Business.
Funny Business, and then it was just an open mic. Wednesday open mics, and then they had like, you know.
Oh, so it wasn't a college show.
It wasn't even a college show. Not to date myself, but comedy was not big yet. The boom wasn't going to hit for another five years.
Wait, did you start it in the 60s?
I mean, it was...
No,
it was,
no, no. Well, being from Nova Scotia,
99. I did start in 99.
There was a gap.
Oh, there was that gap. That's true. There was that gap.
It was around in the
80s,
and then it died in like the 90s.
It died in the
90s. And then it kind of came back in the late 2000s.
Yeah, because I do hear from people that... Because I used to work here at the Comedy Store, but like people told... I mean, when I started working here, nobody would come here.
Nobody was coming here for...
But they even told me even early 2000s, like it was even worse. So it's like what you're saying, like 99, early 2000s, like nobody.
Yeah, long enough for that it's impressive that the store made it through that, I think, you know, considering where it is.
Yeah.
You know, there was no... I would say that on the open mic, the Wednesday nights, when I started in college... I would say that over half the people, almost every week, weren't even students.
Right.
You know, and that's in a pretty big college town.
Yeah.
That it's like kind of hard, not hard to get there, but like it's, you know, the campus is right on it's in between two lakes. So you got to come like, you got to like get into Madison.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, that's just not how it is now. Like, if you're in a college town with an open mic, it's 90% students.
Mm-hmm.
If if some old dude tries to come and do God knows what material.
Yeah, they'd be like, who are you?
They're going to blackball him, and he's not going to get on the list ever. Like, it's not going to happen. But so, you know, and then once I got to Chicago was still pretty dead, too. There was like a handful of shows in one club. now there's like seven clubs and shows in every loft. Like, it's stand up blew the fuck up.
Yeah.
And it didn't really hit until I remember there was this open mic at the Lion's Den, which still, like, a lot of people who came through Chicago, you know, always try to brag about it because it was pretty awesome. Like, I mean, that's where, you know, like, Hannibal, Pete Holmes, Kumail, Kyle, Bronger, you know, everybody that I came up with out of Chicago would go up there every Monday night. It was the spot. And when I first got to Chicago, it was 11 comics, two audience members, and two magicians.
Right.
Oh. And it was not it. And then all
the magicians look down on you.
Yeah. The magicians like, are like, what?
Stand-up
like,
comedy?
Yeah, like, I get, like, you're going to give me 10 minutes, right? I have a hat to pull things out of. Like, and then I, so much so that I kind of stopped going to the Lion's Den, like, it, or not, like, going religiously. And then all of a sudden, like, a couple of new guys were in town, and I met them, and, you know, they were like, are you gonna be at the Lion's Den? And I was like, the Lion's Den, like I mean, that
sure,
place,
yeah.
Sure, fine. And they were like, no, that's it. And then sure enough, for about a 5-year run,
it was the hottest dick in
town. Dude, there was like, it was like 75 person lists.
Wow.
It was like, whoa, yeah, monster. Like, wow. I don't know of anyone that was ever bigger, honestly. It was like, I'm legit. Like, it would go from, it would start at 8, and it would go to the close, and it was however many people.
And would you get real people, like real audience members to come?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was mapped.
It was like a show.
I mean, it was the kind of thing where if there was like, I mean, it's Chicago, so people come out all the time. They're kind of trained. You know, they go see sketch. They go see improv. Mm-hmm. They go see theater. They go see stand-up. So, like, people would come out to support their friends, or after a while, it just became a kind of place to come see, you know, it was just you could not hear about it. Chicago's bigger than that. I mean, there's tons of stuff in Chicago, but if you were at all anywhere near the stand-up scene, like,
you knew that was the spot. Yeah, well, it's kind of like here what I remember.
Like, people. Carlin stopped by one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
I think it's like when people say here, when like Jay Davis would run that show at the somewhere, I forget the name, but like it was like that was like the hot place, you know, like where when Dane Cook started getting like,
oh, the one down on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, I forget the name of the thing, but I think
fire pits outside. So.
Yeah, not that one. I'm talking about even before I started doing comedy, right. like that was like early on, like that was like the place to go. It wasn't like an open mic, but it was the show.
Yeah,
to go. And it was
I've
like,
heard of this. I
forget the name of the place. Mm-hmm. It was like here on Sunset, but like it's kind of like that. Like,
Saddle Ranch or something.
Yeah.
By the way, there was a show at the Saddle Ranch when I was biking, biking up here.
Yeah,
there was like a show.
Comedy?
There.
Barstool was doing a podcast there.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yep. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Five bros taking turns saying not a motherfucking thing.
You never know what you'll stumble into on Sunset Boulevard, Ben.
All right. So,
yeah, the boys from Barstools are trying to fuck the waitstaff.
Hell of a show.
Today, fuck the waitstaff.
I take it you're not a big Barstool fan.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Well, so how did that even Barstool start? I didn't even know. Was it a podcast and it became like a channel? Because now it's like.
Well, and then they started giving out health advice. Same path Joe Rogan's on. Yeah.
Health advice, opinions on unionization. And,
yeah. Off you go.
Yeah.
What are we thinking? What are we thinking chatting about travel?
Yeah. Speaking of traveling.
Medical misinformation and union bashing, and sooner or later, you're a truth teller.
Speaking of traveling, Russia-Ukraine situation. What are your thoughts?
You know, I just canceled a flight to Ukraine.
Crimea?
I was so excited to do.
You know, you can go direct. You got to stop by Minneapolis and then go.
Yeah, you got it. You can't go. It's that MSP is really connected to the world. The gateway to the world, they call it. The Twin Cities.
Have you ever been to Russia?
Never been to Russia. Would love to go. As long as I'm not running from the government.
Yeah, give it time. Yeah, it's probably not the best time.
Not the best time. My buddy was shooting in Ukraine like last month. I was like, hey, guy.
Filming?
Yeah, he was filming something.
Wow.
He's gonna get at it. I know. I was like, yeah. bro, he's back now. Okay, I was like, what?
Now that I, this is the first time I'm living in the country that's sending out warnings, going, hey, maybe if you're a citizen of this country, you know, because having lived, well, being Canadian, well, I guess we have to be ushered out sometimes. But,
yeah.
But, and living in Britain for a while, I've never really sensed it, but I really sense the urgency living in America when they go, hey, maybe if you're American and you're in the UK right now, maybe get out.
Yeah, bounce.
Have you lived internationally?
Never.
Never? But you travel, obviously, a lot internationally.
Yeah.
Or mostly in the U.S.?
I'm mostly in the U.S. I mean, I've only ever gigged North America, really. I've never been to Australia or New Zealand or the U.K. And I'd like to, NateCraig.com.
But would you? Yeah, so you haven't that much.
I love Canada.
Yeah.
I love me some Canada.
We're all going to go to Edinburgh, right, boys?
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
That'd be great.
Let's hit up the Edinburgh.
Stand then, by JJ and Francisco.
And Nate.
It's the new song. It's a B-side on Nate's new album. And,
do you, as a traveler, like you're like, what type of traveler are you? Like, are you like a guy that wants just to be comfortable or just kind of get there or like?
I got to have a window seat.
All right.
I got to have a window seat. If I have a connector, I will.
Are you a status guy? Do you like the status?
I like the status.
I'm a status guy. He doesn't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
I like the status. I'm pretty loyal to, not loyal, but I like to just accumulate points. I like to consolidate my miles. So, yeah. I mean, I can get most places with Southwest and Delta.
Right. And can I say, I realized that this Christmas when I was home, that the other reason why I might not like status is because the boys I tour with, they love Delta, which Delta is nice. But Delta doesn't do Canada.
They don't.
So, no, it's really you're looking at like WestJet is affiliated with United.
Yeah.
So WestJet's United and stuff. So I'm all over the shop anyway. So maybe that's kind of bred. It's not contempt that I have, but it's just bred. I don't care about status because I'm like, I seem to have to take a different airline everywhere anyway.
I'm a status guy. I like having my choice of seat, like going early, you know.
Yeah.
I like feeling better than other people.
You go in that little that buffet place?
Who doesn't?
the lounge.
Delta lounge.
I like the lounge.
Sure. The lounge is nice. Yeah. The lounge is nice.
Yeah, you get free coffee, free stuff, man.
Is it though?
Yeah. It's
nice. It strikes me as the place that'll give you the shits for your flight.
No, it's pretty nice.
I mean, I have had when I've been in there, I've had a couple beer.
There you go.
You get beer, you get one.
But I walk past that smorgasbord of food or whatever, and I don't know if I'm entirely trusting of the prawn cocktails and.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you are taking your life into your own hands anytime you eat at the airport. But you know, if it's coming with your medallion status, I mean, I'll take.
Yeah.
That's a risk I will take.
Of course.
To celebrate. That
it
sweet,
tastes
sweet
better.
Reward.
Yes.
Of,
it's kind of like that movie with George Clooney.
Yeah, Up in the Air.
When he gets the 1 million thing and you realize it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, what do they bring him? Like a pen with
like
his name on it?
Like a pen, and that's it. He's like, oh, this is it. Which is pretty much like, I think, like a very metaphor of like maybe the industry of like that we are in. It's kind of like, hey, you got it. And you're like, oh. Am I supposed to feel better?
This isn't for you.
This isn't.
By the way, this isn't for you. This is for us.
And in the road, when being on the road or just traveling, what's like the craziest store thing that has happened to you when you've been on the road? Like,
on the road?
Like traveling.
I would have to think about it. I mean, I had a guy almost try to, I was almost ready to fight this dude on a plane once. He told me I couldn't put my seat back.
Oh.
Told me I couldn't put my seat back, and I was like,
"This is pre-masks."
I was like, "I'm absolutely putting my seat back, bud." I like put my seat back, and he like,
like that recline, like he didn't want you to recline.
He didn't want me to recline.
Was he a big guy?
No.
Oh,
no, he was just a crotchety old dickhead. And he was
kind of weird. Privilege is that.
This is what he said. I swear to God, this is the line he said. He said, "Nobody else is doing it."
Oh, man. What? I would have been like, everybody's doing it.
I was like,
it.
Everybody's doing
Everybody
it.
Everybody does it.
Yeah. I was like, I paid a lot for this seat. I'm putting my seat back.
Was this like first class?
It's 2 inches. No, it was like, it was a Southwest flight. It was like, it was towards the front of the plane. I was on the aisle.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, you know, he didn't do.
I can't even tell how he would think he's justified to.
It was really baffling to me. And he didn't start like, you know, bumping the seat or anything dumb like that. You know, you see those videos online of some asshole doing that to like a woman, you know, like it's like, oh, okay, on the plane.
Yeah.
Tough guy with grandmas. Like, you know, this guy wasn't doing that, but after like, there was just something about him, his energy, like the way he was really aggressive in his tone. Right. And I was just like, I kind of want to wait for this guy. Like, and I was just like, dude, don't even think about getting sucked into that. Like, that's the most worthless. But this was before people started losing their minds. He was a pioneer in the mind losing, in the field of mind losing.
Well, what happened? Who won?
I won. I put my seat back and then I walked away from him for the rest of my life until now.
He took it out on the next person probably, and somebody's hopefully punched him in the face eventually.
Have him here. Bring him in.
I got COVID in Detroit last year.
Oh, okay. Which one?
Delta? Detroit, Michigan. I got it here and didn't realize it, and then I got sick in Detroit and had to like cancel a week. I was at the Comedy Castle.
Oh no! Did you have to make the phone calls?
I did. Yeah. Well, I mean, I called the club, and then the club, you know, made the phone calls because I did do the Thursday show.
Oh, you did.
And
you weren't feeling sick there. You were just.
Well, I mean, I had like I had a couple colds that year where like I got sick like three or four times last year, not sick, but like once sick. And then like a couple other times I got a cold and I was like, this is it for sure. Yeah. I got it for sure. And it was negative, negative, negative. And I was just like vaccinated. And I was, you know, I was like, I can't react like I have full blown AIDS every time, you know, but then after the show, I woke up the next day and I was like, something's not right.
Yeah,
and I went and tested myself, and I was like, oh, fuck, god damn it. This is the worst. I'm just like, you know, and like, you know, because you think about everybody, you shook their hands last night, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I can't wrap. I haven't had COVID yet since we've known it's in town.
Wow, anyway. Look at this. Canadian healthcare. Yeah.
Delta, by the way.
I think I got Delta, too.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
But yeah, I can't wrap my head around Southwest, the phone calls that you have to make.
You can choose your own symptoms.
Always about the miles with you. How many miles you get for the Southwest variant? You get a free round trip to Walgreens? that's impressive. That's impressive.
You haven't got it yet.
Is it?
I think so. You're the minority.
If you didn't
get
it now, you're not gonna. It's not. You're like, I mean, you might get it, but like, whatever.
I mean, I'm.
Yeah, nobody's
I'm
gonna
more,
care.
Yeah, nobody's gonna care about it.
That's right. I'm gonna get it when it's not trendy. anymore. Classic Jay.
Yeah.
Always doing
you're
it.
Like, hey guys, I got
COVID.
Like,
but I'm more.
We have a new.
More impressed. Like
now.
Your fiance didn't catch it, and you guys were in the same apartment. And,
no, but
and
we
then
were.
Also,
but she came when she came back. I already was like over 5 days, so I don't think that's what
I find that very impressive. That's in your apartment. You were sick in that apartment.
Yeah, but it doesn't stay like forever. I mean, it's not like just like being. It's not a roommate.
Yeah, I don't think it lives too long on stuff. And if you're not symptomatic anymore, then
I think that's what it was because my
and was she
was
vaccinated?
Out.
She was vaccinated.
Yeah, she's vaccinated. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that does everything.
Yeah,
that does a whole lot.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Did
that you got it.
Your wife? Didn't she get it?
She didn't get. Well, that's what I was saying. I had to quarantine in Detroit. I had to get up. I had to get an awful.
So what did you become RoboCop?
Dude, I was. I mean, I was
RoboCop. But RoboCop, 80s movie took takes place in Detroit, right?
I've seen it. Well, I've seen
for
it.
Our
I don't think
younger
anybody
viewers.
Else has seen RoboCop.
Yeah. I don't think nobody got the reference. I was like, you know.
Nobody's seen RoboCop. What?
Murphy.
Number five?
Robot cop. I had to get a shitty room at a shitty Days Inn. I was not the first person to quarantine in this Days Inn.
Oh, really?
Like, I'll say that. Like, that, like that's something I was like, oh, boy.
How long did you stay there?
I was there until I tested negative, and then I was able to get on a plane. The airlines have been pretty cool since COVID. Like, you can call and be like, hey, you know, there's a problem. And then they would let me move my flight, and then I did get to get nice. I did get to go work my next week, because I had another week.
Oh, that's cool.
So it didn't like crush me, but
okay,
it still I had to, you know, it I took a hit for the week that I had to cancel, and then, you know, I wasn't gonna. Oh, here's a fucked up thing. So for the club, they were like, "We'll just stay in the room until, you know, Monday morning or whatever." And I was like, "Can I just stay here?" He was like, "Well, let me talk to the."
Oh yeah, because you were from Thursday to
Thursday to Sunday, and he was like, "Let me talk to
the manager."
Whatever it was, it was a Hyatt.
Oh, it wasn't a Days Inn?
No, I had to move. Because the Hyatt corporate policy, if you test positive for COVID, you have to leave their hotels.
Really?
They won't let you quarantine?
They won't let you quarantine in their hotels. I shit you not.
That's
I shit
up.
You not, dude. And so, which
what
I...
What the hell? We're in the middle of a pandemic.
I know.
You
I
can't,
was like,
you can't
in your
just
room.
Remove yourself from your responsibility in a pandemic.
I understand,
not our hotel.
I understand them taking care of their staff and everything, but I didn't feel right to me. I was like, well, so... So I'm going to go endanger another staff at another hotel. Like, just take it for the team, Hyatt. Like, I'm already in your spot.
But also, they don't clean it anymore, because now, I don't know if you go, every time we stay in a hotel now, they go like, sir, we're not cleaning. We're not, like, doing room service because of the COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Which also, now they're saving money on that, and they're not, nobody's cleaning the rooms now.
Well, so I it's mean, like, not while you stay there. Not.
Yeah, but when you leave, but again, it's not going to linger.
Yeah, but you're not going to. You're not rolling around in somebody else's panties.
Wait, you haven't seen me on the road.
Why are we talking about me?
Putting that request in.
So you had to move to
I
a Days
I had to move
in?
To a Days Inn, and you know, at that point, I'm like,
and
all
why,
right, well,
why
I'm
the
not...
Days Inn? Did you choose that?
It was cheap. It was cheap.
Because you had to choose it.
I chose it, right. I mean, I was just like...
Like the hotel, the club wasn't paying for it.
It was a difference between, you know, $200 a night and 50 bucks a night.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I know what I just need a TV and a bed.
And did the Days Inn, did they had a policy? Like, it's like, yeah, you can do whatever the fuck you
want.
Yeah,
Days Inn was like, don't ask, don't tell. Yeah. Was like, you can walk in here.
Days Inn is like...
On fire, and we got a spot for you.
Days Inn is like, we should porns here, you know?
Right,
like,
this is a cinder block. You're going to sleep inside a cinder block.
Chicken pox policy. We got some other kids who need to catch it. Can we send them over to your room?
By the way, that's your slogan. Yeah.
We only have the anthrax suite available. So I went there, and then...
Was it those ones where, like, it's outside, like a motel, or it had a little lobby?
I did have a sliding door to the parking lot.
Yeah, I hate those.
The door in was the... Yeah, I didn't like it.
I hate those. Those are the worst, because I was like, anybody can just break in here.
Yeah.
I mean, at least I have the safety of the lobby.
It's usually like a motel.
Yeah, right. Those are the, you right. know, but yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a motel. It was definitely a motel.
So basically, it was like you were like living like a short independent movie starring Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I was really roughing it.
Yeah.
I was roughing it. It was.
And you stayed there for what, 4 more days?
I was there for So got there. I actually think I got there. Yeah, I checked out. Flew out Thursday morning. I tested positive on Tuesday, and then was just like, well,
you already had the days.
I'm here. Or tested negative on Tuesday. Tested negative on Tuesday, realized that when I first started feeling it, it was, you know, way before I got to Detroit, and that, you know, for whatever reason, I was an idiot, and it was, and then I flushed it out. I just found a juice spot. I found this was the wildest thing about COVID.
Did you say juice spot?
Yeah, juice spot.
Okay,
yeah.
Just get my vitamins. Just in case there wasn't something I was catching there. What's a
just
juice
to,
spot?
Just to get your vitamins, try to flush it out.
Not
of
a place where the Jews are.
Juice spot. Okay, good. You know, I went and kept an eye on the Jews, and then every day I took a walk by the Jews.
I won't shirk my responsibilities while I'm ill.
What kind of Days Inn was it?
So I was able to kick it. But I found there was this great Indian spot, and I did lose my sense of taste and smell.
Oh, you did?
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't do that.
But there was, I was just like, I went 3 nights in a row. I got
to the same Indian
spot? Wow. And I was just like, bring it, make it hotter.
And nothing?
I was shoveling
And you couldn't taste it?
And I know it was hot because
you were like,
my asshole did not lose its sense of taste. And it was a battle. But yeah,
lost a lot of weight.
I felt like you know, that was my, I was like, I'm just gonna fucking burn it out of me. I'm gonna, you know, and that's probably
science.
Yeah. I have to admit, I have a little bit of that theory too, because I, you know, drink whiskey every night, and I tell myself, this is what's helping me fight off any kind of flu. A couple shots of whiskey, I got some ginger, and I'm like, these are my home.
Yeah,
remedies,
that's bullshit.
Man.
That's like, no,
well,
no,
I haven't caught it yet, have I? So my little gypsy remedy is working.
No, but you know why? Because that was like back in the Middle Ages, they didn't have fucking medicine, so. Yeah, get a shot of whiskey and a fucking chicken, and then you're good. And it's like,
leeches.
But now that kept, you know, in generations, and now people still use it. It's like, yeah, you gotta drink whiskey. And it's like, yeah, but also take a medicine. You know, I mean, like the whiskey ain't gonna save you. Too.
I actually heard while we're talking about these old, what are they, wives' tales or whatever the shit we call them. I heard a good
wives
one. My
tales?
Buddy. Well, isn't that
time tested medicinal remedies?
Yeah,
it's not it's persons.
Did you? I got a good one. My
spouse tales.
My buddy
partner.
My buddy Hammy told me a good one the other day about which goes back to World War II when the Allies had radar and they didn't want the enemies knowing about radar, and the tale that carrots helped your eyesight.
Oh, yeah,
that was by the military. I didn't know if you knew this already.
No,
so
the military started that.
So that's why soldiers started saying it. Oh yeah, we grew up on a lot of carrots and stuff to not let out the secret of radar and things like that. That was helping.
So it's bullshit about the carrot. So,
yes, it's complete bullshit about carrots, but that's what the pilots and stuff were told to say, so that when the Nazis or whatever the Axis of Evil or whatever found out those things, they thought it was carrots. And not this amazing radar that we were in possession of. And I thought that was fantastic to this day. Because even my mom said to me when I was a kid, you know, eat your carrots.
Yeah.
It's good for your eyesight. It's fucking bullshit. That was.
Wow. And through all the whole pandemic, he was sticking carrots up his ass.
Wow.
Yes.
No?
All right. No.
Speaking of
thanks,
wives.
No.
Speaking of wives.
What did the army say about that?
Yeah.
Do you?
He seems to be on a swivel. Well. I tell you what.
No, but speaking of,
he's shooting everywhere. He's
has anybody seen the gunnery sergeant?
Speaking of person's tales, do you have any lucky charms or
are
things?
You? Yeah, are you a superstitious guy? I find this funny as comedians because we all have, because we all have our little superstitions when we're on the road. You might even have lucky like clothes, shirts that you can gig in.
I get superstitious about things that things that I think have worked for me in the past, like I'm gonna tape a special. I'm about an hour before I go on stage, I'm going to eat a big, huge burrito.
Really? A burrito? Yeah,
a burrito. Or like, just because.
Why a burrito?
Because. Because
you did it last time and you had a great gig?
I did. Well, I just think that a good, I think that like a lot of starch.
Like carbs.
Sugars.
Yeah.
Gets your brain going. Not 2 hours before, 1 hour before, right before.
But don't you have to go to the bathroom with a big-ass burrito?
No.
Really?
No, I'll be good.
You said it like Batman. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. I know, I don't hold my burritos. You know? Like, what's your secret, Batman? I know how to hold my burritos. I got a really tight asshole. That's a good Batman.
Makes me move good on
Why
stage.
Does Batman always talk like that? Can't just Batman talk normal?
Yeah.
It's always like, hey. Like, it's so depressed.
Was it Michael Keaton's fault?
Is it part of his disguise?
Yeah, because the 70s one, he's like, hey, Robin, you want to suck my dick?
Well, you saw a very different Batman.
Well,
but yeah, they were.
Hey, Robin.
It wasn't until Keaton. Well, it was Keaton, though, right? And then Christian Bale took it to another level.
Yeah,
Christian Bale took it to this level.
Yeah.
Do you want?
Yeah, I wonder what Pattinson's going to do. I saw.
It sounds he did like, it too. It sounds like thing. He's got a bit of a.
I saw that trailer. He's like, "What? I'm danger." You know, some
it's almost feels. It almost, like, it almost feels like it's going darker.
I'm danger.
It's completely darker.
It almost like, seems darker, and I didn't think you could get darker than
emo
Bale's
Batman. Emo Batman.
There was actually articles today that came out that Robert Pattinson has a warning. The Batman is a sad movie where Bruce Wayne is a weirdo. That was his quote from that.
Oh, because we always thought the guy who dressed up as a bat was just perfectly normal.
Yeah, that's every Batman.
Pattinson explaining his choices.
Already.
The movie's not even out
yet.
Choices.
That's every Batman.
That's dangerous.
Look, I did a couple takes for every scene, okay? It's the ones they chose were the ones that were a little bit morose.
Yeah.
All right? I have that gear. I'm Robert fucking Pattinson. If you don't like emo Batman, maybe go ahead and rent.
So does, when Batman's having sex, does he have that same voice? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think Batman Fox, dude.
You don't think Batman fucks?
Batman doesn't fuck.
No, he's too
Bruce
sad.
Wayne fucks.
But if Bruce
Wayne comes
fucking
to the bedroom, Bruce Wayne is the superhero.
But if Bruce
Hello,
Wayne
is the I'm Bruce.
If Bruce Wayne
we're gonna fuck, he's like, what happened? What happened to the dark guy? I'm fucking today.
Did somebody throw up the bat signal?
If Bruce Wayne is fucking though, if Bruce Wayne is fucking and she wants him to be the Batman. Does he do the voice? If Bruce Wayne is having sex, would he do the Batman voice? If requested.
I guess. I mean, maybe the girl's like, look, I actually wanted to fuck the Batman. It's like, can you do the voice? It's like, yeah.
Ask and you shall receive.
I already like this Batman.
I like this Batman.
Yeah, why didn't they go on a camper
no,
direction?
No, this is Bruce.
It's Oprah's Bruce. Batman is what it is.
You get a superhero dick. You get a superhero dick.
Okay, so back to the burrito. So where it's
Oh yeah, superstitions. All right, maybe that right there is
so
clearly,
that's every,
that clearly is science-based.
But that's just for specials, not for like every set that you do.
If I just got a big set that I care about, I'll make sure that I'm properly. I got a big stomach full of starch.
What happened if you can find a burrito? What else you get?
I don't know. I think I just chalk that up to
a wrap. You can pull it.
I just go ahead
and do it.
Rely on my natural born skills.
You give a warning at the start of the set. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't find my burrito tonight. So
I'm a burrito baby.
So would that be when you get like really huge? Is that like it's like in your rider? It's like, for some reason, everybody asks like smoked salmon and you know and caviar. This guy just gets like a burrito.
This guy wants
a burrito.
What's a rice and tater tot burrito?
That sounds like the opposite of what you would want before. Performing
that's
before
I mean.
Doing
I mean,
that's
a little heavy, man.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
but hey, if it
I
works
feel
for
like
you?
If I go ahead and you know pack in a couple slices of pizza, and go on stage, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little bit more clear headed.
Right.
I mean, for me,
if there's any doctors out there that want to message me on at Nate Craig Live on Instagram or Nate@NateCraig.com, please feel free to tell me that I am full of shit.
And literally. no, that's my I do that just when I know I'm going to drink a lot. Like I'll eat like carbs,
yeah.
Like pasta or
yes,
something. Like
yes.
If I know I'm going to like go to a wedding, I'm like, give me the full.
When you need to perform.
Exactly. But perform. But I mean, I get it in a way because you're spending energy and stuff like that. You need to have. Yeah. So I get it too. You know. So that's your only thing that you do.
Let me think here. I mean, I have. No, I'm not like I don't have any like superstitions like about like clothes or anything. I just have like a limited amount of things that are fit to wear on stage. Right. So I
you're
wear
like
those.
You wear suits, right, or jackets?
I like to. Yeah. If I'm in Vegas. I'll wear suits on the weekend, or if I'm taping something, I definitely like to wear a jacket or a suit or something. And then,
where did that come from? From like the 80s and stuff?
I just think it's
respecting the job.
Respecting the job and respecting the crowd and also looking good. I mean, suits look good, man. They're fun to wear. I don't have, aside from weddings, I don't have any other time to wear suits. You know, weddings are, you know, going out with my with my wife.
Yeah.
But
congrats, by the way.
Thank you.
You just got married, right?
I got married right before the pandemic.
Nice. And how long were you going out with your wife?
We were probably dating a couple years at that
nice.
Point.
Because they do say that would have been the big test, being getting married and then having to go through a pandemic together.
Like, that's what I've been saying.
There goes date nights.
Any divorce that happened during the pandemic needed to happen. Any marriage that started during the pandemic or relationship ended now.
Well, I proposed to my girlfriend after the pandemic, like did last year. So it kind of like solidified the
well,
what I was
different.
Already knew was going to happen.
You're different. You're a good person. And,
yeah, she is too.
Yeah.
So I the reason I'm bringing it up is like, how can we help JJ find love?
Oh.
That's
wow. I think JJ's all right. I'm all right.
You're right?
I've opted against love. I'm not.
You don't want to get married?
I'm not in any rush. I didn't know this was a thing. I didn't know I was about to get.
Maybe Batman gives you advice.
I'm good. JJ, you look like you do very well for yourself.
Yeah, I do. I don't have any. I don't
what
have
about
any
Bruce?
Have you tried any dating apps?
I've got all the dating apps.
Do you want to go over your profile?
He's got weird dating apps.
What's it saying in your
bio? I got
bio?
Weird dating apps. Wait,
no. You got you apply. You've done weird dating apps.
Have you ever
like,
tried being a multimillionaire?
Like
I know.
What about that one where like that person like you pay them to find your love?
Oh, that's true.
That's
that
a weird
true.
One.
That is true. I was.
He got Tinder swindle before Tinder swindle.
I was recruited. Well, no, it's not. It's matchmakers. If you're on apps and stuff, then the matchmakers know and they'll reach out to you and go, you know, give us 10 grand and we'll find you love.
We'll find you love.
No, I did not give them 10 grand, if that's what you're alluding. Yeah. I don't know where he's like, you're plotting against me here, but
no,
I'm like,
I'm just asking.
But once you turn them down,
JJ,
then you're
it's
in
very
their
attractive that you have friends that care about you. don't be embarrassed.
So,
Bruce has to say now. JJ,
JJ,
let's buy some love.
Sounds like you need a wingman.
that's very Justin Martindale.
Yeah,
Martindale's been my wingman on the
that's nice.
on a few weekend shows.
That's a great wingman.
He's a great wingman, but he likes to go to gay bars though. So it's kind of there's one thing. You don't necessarily get both. You get an amazing wingman, but maybe the wrong environment.
I think you're the wingman in that situation.
Yeah, I don't know where the wing stops and the man begins.
Don't you worry, Jay. We'll find you, love. Now let's watch this man dance.
We're gonna find you love here at Pump, I promise.
We'll find you something for sure. But that's cool. Congrats, man. That's great.
Thank you. Yeah, never been better. And it was a test, but we passed. I mean, she didn't stop working. She's a ICU nurse, so she kind of got busier.
Definitely working, yeah.
And then you know, I just had to be the housewife I was born to be.
Nice.
And
so you were cooking and cleaning.
I was doing all that shit, and it was fine. I mean, I was.
the way that you said it, I was doing all that shit. But anyways, it was fine.
it was. You know, I mean, it sucked because we were all, you know, all our calendars went away, and we were stuck inside for a year. It was
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Some people kept working. I felt like my audience was not coming out during a pandemic.
Yeah, of course.
So,
did you do like the Zoom stuff?
I tried, and then I was like, it didn't take many of them to be like, never
this is
again.
Not stand up. Yeah, yeah. One thing that I realized with Zoom comedy was more like it was more like a podcast. Like I would treat it like a podcast because if I treat it like as a natural stand up, then I would feel bad because you don't get that instant reaction, you know, because of the
There's nothing like turning your rhythm and timing into a monologue, and just delivering that. But you know what, I did a few those shows as well, and I feel like I got something out of them, but I didn't get a desire to do more, but I got enough material.
Yeah, I guess they kept me writing.
Yeah, keeps right. Yeah, it was the only way that we could put that kind of pressure on ourselves over the time of the pandemic. So.
And now they're doing the metaverse thing. Comedy. I don't know if you've seen that, like where you wear the Oculus thing, and then you're like you're clicking avatar, then you're like, I mean, you do, and you're performing with other avatars and stuff like that.
Right. I did one show like that. I did Animal Crossing, Jenny Yang show, which was fun.
Was that like
and
an,
it's Animal
Avatar?
Crossing?
You, Animal Crossing, the video game. Yeah. So she built like a comedy club in Animal Crossing.
Okay.
And then you're the you're down. You were in. There was like a basement comedy club.
That is. This sounds very like the metaverse. This is the
it
metaverse.
Was metaverse,
type
but without the you know the goggles.
Got it.
And
right.
You know that was different.
Yeah.
Still kind of in my you know fell in the category of not live comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she would get like 500 people in there.
Oh, wow.
She would get like more. She got blown up. The New York Times blew her up. So like she was getting like, I think she might have even got thousands of people like
nice.
For shows, depending on who was on the show.
Right.
Because everybody was so hungry to have something to
just
do
to
on their
do
computer.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Instead of,
now I wonder if, is she still running that? Or, because I'm wondering how much of it goes away after when the, with the world slowly coming back.
I don't see her promoting it anymore. I don't think, I think it went away a while ago. I think a lot of those did.
Well, one thing I realized, I don't know if you guys think the same, it's like with like music and comedy, you know, or like anything that's like live performance is like, it's very, you, I don't think that's going to go away because the whole point of live performance is to be there.
Yeah.
You know, to experience the concert and the pushing. Yeah. And the you know and the bartender you know what I mean or you know so like I feel like it's very hard to like duplicate that you know what I mean because even when I watch specials you know they're very you know some are very funny but it's not as funny as when you were there you, it's really hard to transfer that energy when you like when everybody's in that same building and like you know and then because you're watching you like and you're gonna be like huh that's funny huh but when you're in the actual but you're like. You're really laughing, aren't you?
It's literally an art form where you're frequently saying you had to be there.
Yeah.
And you should want to be there. And unfortunately, because that's the truth about stand-up, too.
Yeah.
Even sometimes when you watch stand-up, you're like, oh, I know, we know this because we know the feeling of being there. But but we can see how it's sometimes a hard sell when people can't put themselves in the club and they're just watching it on TV and they go, I don't think I'd like this.
Yeah, I don't think this
like,
is.
Oh,
yeah.
You'd love it. You'd love it. You'd love to be there and like feel that. You know, but
yeah, like when you watch, like when you, you know, you go up and have a great set and then you watch the tape
and you're like, oh, this is, it's not like, I know I had a better set than this.
Yeah. It's just,
oh yeah. Sometimes your most mediocre sets look the best on tape for some reason.
It's true. It is funny listening to that stuff and you're like, oh, that set went way better than I thought it did. And then it's usually the same with, oh, that set didn't go as good as I thought it did.
I guess like, it's maybe the equivalent for people that are stand-up is like if you tape yourself having sex and then you see yourself, you're like, I thought I was killing it. And then you're like,
well, you know? You really did have to be there. I guess it's just so one-dimensional.
That's why you got to give it to porn actors, because they sell it.
They sell the shit
they
out of it.
They sell the shit out of it.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They know what you want.
Yeah.
Even if it wrecks their insides, they
now,
know.
Now, how would a Batman porn would go?
He'd be a director.
He's a director.
Yeah, he's a director, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are doing great out there. If anybody needs my help, just shine a flashlight at the wall.
The funny thing would be like the typical director's like, can you come here a second? like, all right, great job. But we gotta this take, let's just go more, a little more, you know, a little more power in there, you know.
Yeah, I wanna feel the full force of Gotham City. I need to feel the infrastructure. I need to feel the population base.
That's actually a good director, like
good note.
No, good director impression because a lot of directors give you shit that you don't understand.
Uh-huh.
You're like, they give you that advice, and you're like, what do you mean? Like, just tell me what to do. Like, it's like, well, you know, they give you all these metaphors. I'm like, just say. Just tell me how to say the line, man. Like, that's all I did. Or tell me where to stand. Like,
louder, slower.
Slower, yeah. But it's like, yeah, you gotta pretend, you know, it's like just like if the penguin just stole your child. I was like, what the fuck are you talking
about? The weight of the world is coming down on you.
Show me the resentment.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Show me the resentment.
Can I get Bruce as a director?
resent these men.
No, Bruce Wayne as a director.
Oh. Bruce Wayne is there for the rap part. That's a rap. That's a rap for Lucy. Lucy, everybody.
Which, by the way,
somebody get Lucy some ice.
Nicole Kidman got nominated for that, and Javier Bardem. Which I saw the movie. Did you see the movie?
Which one?
The Lucy one.
Oh, she being got nominated for
an Oscar.
Wow. Wow, I did not see that, and good for her. That's very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess her, I see her. Javier Bardem, I was like, I don't think he did enough to get nominated.
Yeah.
I think they definitely threw them in there just because he was Spanish.
Huh. I did not. I watched the only, well, I didn't look at the nominations. I didn't even look.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not aware.
I saw the one movie I saw that got them. I saw the, what's it? Fight of the Dog? What's it called?
Oh, The Power of the Dog.
Power of the Dog.
Did you see it? I liked it.
It was great.
That was great. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, that was good. Have you seen it?
I've not seen that one. I've seen King Richard.
Is that good?
I thought King Richard was very good. I thought Will
Smith. Do you think
he's
going to finally win one?
Yeah. You know how you watch those films and you're like, there's that monologue? There's that monologue that they read in the script and they went, that's my Oscar monologue.
Yeah.
He's got like three of them.
Oh, really?
He's got three of these monologues in the movie. And I was like, all right. Okay. He's all crushing
it. I could see. I think he's going to win. I think they're going to finally give it to him.
It's yeah.
Because, I mean,
it's
the people that nominated
it.
Is, it's Benedict, he did. Denzel, because of the, you know, the. Macbeth.
And then what is Macbeth? Where's that Denzel Macbeth?
Apple TV.
Damn it.
Yeah.
It's the one thing I don't got.
I mean, anybody, you can ask anybody.
Yeah,
give it to
we
you.
Give you the screener.
No, you can
if
actually.
You want.
Yeah,
I've got a.
Oh,
I got
the
I
screener
got a couple
too.
Screeners.
Oh,
which
you
also, why
look
they
you
keep
guys
say-
up to date on your dues.
Also,
I've never once been up to date on my dues when
really?
It's time for screeners. I'm always like, oh God, it's November 12th.
But also, why do they stop sending the DVDs? Nobody uses I don't know what to do with these DVDs.
Yeah.
DVDs do suck. I miss the. I like it when they sent you the scripts as well. They send you like the.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they don't do that anymore, too. Now you just get digital links. Who's following digital links? Come on. Give me a hard copy, man.
Yeah.
I'll follow them.
So, yeah, I don't know why you were supposed to put them in our PlayStation or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who does DVDs anymore. And I'm like, just send me the link so I can.
The worst ones are the ones from Amazon and Netflix. Like, we're already members.
You already know. Yeah. If we're in the industry and you not have Netflix or like, then what do you do?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like, I mean, you have to have at least that. HBO.
That always baffles me. I'm annoyed at when you meet people and they don't have a television and they're in our industry. I don't watch TV.
That's like
pull the carrot out of your ass.
That's like somebody being finance and be like, I don't watch. Like being in the investment field, I'm like, yeah, I don't see the stock market. That's your fucking business.
Yeah,
I don't care about it. That's your job.
Yeah.
No, I just like to judge people who do care about it. While also trying to work with and for them.
We did have I don't mind saying this, but there was somebody at Comedy Central once who we had in our writer's room, and one of the higher ups, and we were like, what kind of comedy do you like? And he literally went, I don't like comedy.
And we're like, dude,
yeah, he's like a huge executive. I mean, he's not at Comedy Central anymore, but what did he say? He said, okay, so he goes, I don't like comedy. And we're like, dude, you're like... You're higher up in Comedy Center. He goes, oh, I really like Vanderpump Rules. And we were like, what the hell? So, you know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Unreal.
Yeah. You know why his name was Batman? Yeah, I don't enjoy comedy. I'm more of a Vanderpump Rules guy.
Yeah.
It all seems so formulaic and predictable. You've seen one show, you've seen them all. Show me a woman that cares about her life and isn't afraid to make enemies.
This Batman's good. Oscar season, we got fucking Batman. Yeah. We got Robert Pattinson.
There we go.
Well, we're almost done here, but
we are. I'm sure we still got.
You want to ask one last question? The last question that we always ask.
Well, what else is there? Must be something else on our list too before we get to our big rap question.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for the last question.
Stand by, JJ and Francisco.
But you reside here now. You went from Chicago now to LA, and Yeah, man. You asked about status. And
yeah, we got a lot of questions.
All right, well, Nate, we always have one final question that we ask of our guests before we wrap the show, and it is: do you have one piece of travel advice that you love to hand to people, or or hand on? Maybe it could have been given to you, but also you could have discovered it over here.
A couple crossed my mind that I'm not prepared to make public.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Oh, because you don't want to give away your secret?
Yeah.
What are you, Batman?
Wow, is it a secret airline or something?
Yeah, or prices. Maybe prices. Maybe he's getting cheap prices.
All right.
Well, you'll tell us. Well, if you join our Patreon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will just say this. On Delta, oftentimes those connectors are not sold out.
What do you mean? Connectors?
Like oftentimes,
flights?
You just be sure that when you're choosing seats, don't panic and lock yourself in to like the back of the plane just because you want a window seat or an aisle seat or something. If all they're giving you is steady middle seats all the way up to the front, there's a good chance that that's not a full flight. And if you do take one of those middle seats because it's the only option, you will have yourself the entire row or maybe two seats.
So oh, right.
Do not panic when selecting seats. That would be my advice.
Ah.
Okay.
Interesting. And do you go, if you've gotten one of these seats that you know that you don't really want in the end, but you're hopeful that you'll get maybe a whole
yes.
row, do you also get there early to talk to somebody at the gate? Do you use that approach as well?
Have the discussion I always check in with the gate agent.
Right.
Even if it's just to let them know that I am someone on their flight, because you never know. Like if you are there early enough and they need a seat and they, you know, they have the discretion to give you $1,000 if they want your seat
that's
bad.
True. That's
and
right.
like if they, or if they got the opportunity to bump somebody up to first class, I always check in. I'm just like, just the flight to St. Louis. Is it on time? Thanks. I'll see you soon. And then I sit right in front of them. And then if they need anything.
And you just stare at them.
I stare right at their boobs, especially if they're a burly man. And I don't know. My dad always taught me make friends with the janitors and the lunch ladies. They control everything in the building.
Yeah, hotel, the people that the valet guys at the hotel.
Yep.
I found that from Casino.
here I am.
They can get you, because otherwise you got to walk three buildings worth around where the civilians are walking.
Yeah,
but they can get you through the loading dock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
15 yards to where you need to be.
Yeah. Is that good advice?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
COVID.
Oh man, we finally got.
Yeah, he jinxed himself.
Yeah,
I know. Now he's taking the scratchy throat right at the end.
I still haven't had it. Is that fancy?
Shit. We're just closing the show, and I'm starting to get a coughing fit.
Oh man.
That's
that
awesome.
Great.
That's
so like,
stand by.
And also, like, do you have any dates coming up that people want to share? And also, if you want to share, again, you mentioned your social media, but if you want to share it again.
Yeah, NateCraig.com. I will be at the Cosmopolitan with Bill Burr.
Nice.
March 18th, 19th.
That's a good hotel.
I will be at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase the following weekend. I believe that's March 25th, 26th. And then I'll be at Acme Comedy Company in Minneapolis Memorial Day weekend.
Nice.
And stay tuned. Follow me, Hype Man on Twitter, Nate Craig Live on Instagram. I will be recording a special this spring. I don't know what venue or what date yet, but I'm pretty sure we're going to do it in Chicago. So if you're in Chicago.
Nice. Are you going to do it at the Lion Den?
Not going to do it at the Lion's Den, but I'm definitely going to put 50 people on the lineup.
Awesome. Nice. Well, that's awesome. Congrats on all that. And guys, thank you again for watching and listening. Remember to subscribe, follow us on Instagram. Oh, there it is, Nate. Follow us on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube. If you have any questions, please send it to us. And thank you guys.
This is my light.
See you later.
Bye, hello.